Now we've got Jake here in the studio. Welcome to the studio, Jake.
How is it?
Good, good. So tomorrow night, you've got a repair cafe for computer stuff. I say computer stuff because...
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen either.
It's, you don't? Kind of
the, it's the first time it's ever been done, so in Raglan.
Yeah, so what are you hoping to offer? Because you know how to fix computers.
Well,
we know this.
My main goal is I'll bring a couple laptops down just to show how hinges work and how to pull SSDs out of computers and things like that. Because I think a lot of people want to learn how to get their data off their computers. That's one of the things that people have come up to me and asked me in town.
So the computer has died,
yeah.
And they want their data. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And how do I get my data out of the old one? Things like that. But I just think the people I've talked to have asked me what are we going to do and stuff. And I just bring your stuff.
Yeah, if it's broken, bring it.
Yeah, and we'll just see what we can do, you know?
Yeah. So any kind of device, like desktops, laptops, can you fix iPads and phones?
You got to have a lab to do that.
Right.
So I use a lab out of Albany, but they're really good, but I just courier them to them because, the stuff you need, it shouldn't be a home user fixing that stuff, you know? Because if not, you don't get the good seals and the seams right, and, you can do it, but... You're better off doing it with the gear that you need to do it properly.
Yeah.
Because there's to put a back on an iPhone, they're all glass, and you need, there's a laser that etches out the glue from the glass and stuff like that. If you don't have the right tools,
yeah.
And that laser is $10,000. And if you don't have the right tools, you just don't do a good job, you know?
I guess when they're trying to engineer such tiny little devices, you're going to end up with that scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. But desktops and laptops, especially desktops, there's obviously a lot of room in them.
And laptops are real fun too, because they're real rewarding to fix because of the difference in cost.
Yeah.
You know, I do laptop screens. I do Mac screens a lot. Because Apple made a cable for 4 years that was 10 mil too short. And so if you open them too far over time, the cable pops off.
Oh.
And Apple charges $1,200 to fix them. And
What is it with Apple?
They're Apple. That's what they do.
Yeah, that's what we say. It's Apple. What else are you going
to say? Yeah. As far as the right to fix stuff goes, Apple was one of the biggest fighters of that in America.
Right
to repair is a big thing right now in America. So
yeah, I've seen that online, and I mean we're all going to benefit from that. That kind of, it's basically a movement at this point, isn't it?
Oh, the difference is with most things, we're kind of forgetting how things work. You know what I mean? And the actual, we just want the technology to be there for us when we want it, but we don't understand how anything works anymore, and it's real frustrating because there's going to be a point where we don't understand how anything works and we're dependent on other people to give us all this stuff. And in case the technology goes bad or something goes weird in the world, we're going to be stuck without any knowledge of how anything worked from beforehand, you know, because we're always told it and not.
Yeah, well, I was actually going to ask you this question because when we grew up, you know, it was mostly just PCs. And there were famously a lot of teenage boys who very happily pulled the family PC apart and souped it up and fixed things and were really comfortable with that. And knew how to do that. And even, I remember I was in a flat in my early 20s and someone bought an old PC and we, between the three of us, we had enough knowledge, and I'm not a computer guy really, but we had enough knowledge to revive it and get it, you know, get it working again. But is it like that with kids today? Are there still kids who can?
Yeah, there's some kids that have the passion.
Yeah.
You know, and at school, working at the school, it's good to find those kids and really nurture that passion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because That's what's really good about Raglan Area School is it's so eclectic and small that you find these little groups of kids that really want to learn something.
Yeah.
And so you can go out of your way to find those little bits that you can interject. Whereas at a big school, you might not ever know that kid wants to find that idea or that passion. Because once you get them nurturing that passion, you might show them something that goes their whole life.
I presume that's what you were like as a kid, since this has ended up being your career.
I hated computers when I was a kid. Yeah.
Why?
You know, what really got me into computers, I always like fixing stuff. I've always been a fixer of things, you know? I don't know what's in me, but I think you get born that way, a fixer, you know?
Yeah.
And when I was a little kid, I liked cable boxes. So TV cable, because in America we use coax for our television. It wasn't satellite. And so when I was a little kid, about 8 years old, I figured out how to steal cable.
And at eight.
Yeah. And so my parents would pawn me off to all their friends to go fix their cable boxes so they could get Cinemax and HBO and stuff.
Right.
And that passion kind of kept me going. And then video games, I fixed PlayStations and stuff.
Yeah.
And I still hated computers. I worked at a video game shop.
Yeah.
And then what really got me into computers was Napster.
Right.
Music, like free music. It blew my mind, you know? Like,
yeah.
And before that, it was Hotline and Hotline.
I don't know what Hotline was.
Hotline was Napster before Napster.
Really?
It was
only on Apple. I never heard of that.
That's where Sean Fanning came from. That's right. Where I met him at, actually. Like,
yeah.
Because we used to hang out. Hotline had a chat room same way.
Yeah.
Hotline, because Apple invented the MP3. And so back in the day, MP3s were only Apple-based, and Hotline was an Apple program. And Fanning turned it into, took the ideas from Hotline and turned it into Napster, which was just a part IRC and part file trading.
Yeah.
You know, and that free music just changed my whole world, you know.
So you knew those guys, like, I guess you were you involved in the early bulletin boards and things like that? Or did you get involved until the internet was...
Hotline was the start of it all. Nobody really traded music on bulletin boards as far as, like... Because I had a 10 meg up and 10 meg down line in 2000.
So it wasn't the bandwidth.
I had huge amounts of bandwidth.
Actually, no, that's a lot for then,
isn't
it? It's
huge. It's like...
Everyone else was on dial-up, probably slow 56K, dial-up.
56K, so I had, I had about... Well, 56K, 200, 10 meg would be 200 times 8, 1600 times faster than 56K.
Well, you weren't here in Raglan.
No.
You couldn't have been.
No. I was in Tacoma where Microsoft was from.
Ah.
And so at the time when I was living there, it was had the most fiber optic cable of anywhere on the planet per square inch, you know, of
yeah.
the city.
Yeah, because of the residents.
Yeah. But...
That's... Okay, so... That's how you got into it. My laptop's sitting there. Actually, I wonder if I can make this happen. Its screen screws up real easily. Probably not going to do it now. Oh. It's not, normally, it just goes. It'll suddenly go all gray.
Usually, what that is the cable in the back.
Yeah.
So it's either the cable itself, because there's a cable that connects the screen and runs the power as well.
Yeah.
And there's a cable itself that's behind the bezel, and it will have popped off a little bit. Or it's the cable's bad, which over time you flex the cable enough and the copper wire will flatten.
It's almost always done this from quite early when I got it. And randomly it'll just suddenly do it. And then I just give it a little twist to the screen and it usually fixes. If that doesn't fix it, I have to put the lid down and restart.
I'd pop the bezel off and check the cable itself, like check the connection.
So is that just around the front of the screen?
Yeah, this all pops off.
He's now pointing around the frame of the screen.
And you just take a... We call them spudgers.
Yeah.
But it looks like a guitar pick. And you take it and push it underneath, and it just pulls the tape off, and you wiggle it around, and there's little plastic clips. And that comes right off. And once that comes off, you got to be real gentle because those are prone to breaking. But if you just follow it all the way around and then pull that off, you can then, there's four screws that hold the screen on, and that's it. And then it just folds down, and you can, the cable's right underneath it.
So you're not afraid to do this. Most people are like, uh-oh, I'm going to mess something up.
No. Like, I take everything apart.
Yeah.
I give everything a go. You know, all those new speakers and all the new... like, I put a new USB port. My friend had a plotter.
Yeah.
Ty Paddles. You know those guys?
No, but go on.
They had a plotter, giant plotter, right?
Yeah. And normally you see in a drafting office or
exactly,
something.
Exactly. Giant. It was big. They were printing out stuff for their paddles and stuff. And... he just walked by and broke the USB port on it.
Oh, as he walked past.
Yeah, and the USB port's like an old USB-A port about the size of your thumb, you know, or a little bit less, you know, half your thumb. Breaks the port. There's like a whole plotter are broken, you know?
Yes.
The whole plotter is broken. And the part itself was $4, but there's no way to fix it without that part. So I ordered the part off AliExpress.
Yeah.
Call my mate Neil. Do you know Neil Jennings?
Yeah.
Call Neil, who's a Sparky, because I wanted to get it done by a Sparky because it power comes through there. And so that's one thing I'm super afraid of is power.
Right. Okay. You know? Yeah.
And so I don't want to like fix something and have it burn the guy's house down.
Fair enough, Jake. That's fair.
It's a bit of a favor, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, Neil came over and we fixed this USB port on like a, you know, thousands of dollars worth of plotter.
Yeah.
And if not, they would have wrote it off, you know? And it's like, that kind of stuff is my favorite stuff to do. Stuff that's out of the ordinary. And you change people's lives or change their technology because he would have went and bought, he was actually talking to me about like, if this plotter doesn't work, I'm going to go buy a new one. tomorrow because I got to have one. You know?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's the whole business is revolving around it.
So. I hate it. Yeah. I'm all about the repair and the reduce, repair, recycle thing. I'm about the repair. I'm the repair guy.
Well, we used to be a culture that repaired things in this country.
My grandparents.
There's a lot of self-reliance, you know?
Yeah, my grandpa and my dad was the same. Like, I was at my dad's house over the holidays a couple of years ago, and his copper pipes broke in the house.
Yeah.
So he's under the house brazing, you know, like... How many people these days...
Did he have some welding gear, did he?
Yeah. He just gets under the house and starts brazing like it's no big deal.
My grandfather used to be the guy who fixed everything. He had, every time when I was a kid, we'd go to his place, he'd go out the back in his workshop and he'd have like 20 clocks there that he was always, he would fix everybody's clocks. They'd all be sitting there, well, not ticking away because they were broken, but yeah, he'd fix them up.
I love those kind of people. Like, that's my favorite, you know, like stuff, just giving life to stuff that doesn't need to die, you know? Because there's enough landfill in the world now, you know, especially like, when we're digging holes 3 miles deep to get these special metals that only work in devices, and then we dispose of the device when it's the first time it cracks or the first time something goes wrong on it, you know?
I know Extreme is really, obviously, big on recycling computer gear, but there still must be a lot of work to extract all the minerals out of the computer boards.
Not as much work as there is chemicals, too, because they pull the gold out, and they use acids to pull the gold out. And,
of the old laptops.
Yeah.
Right.
Because every connection is pretty much like a real thin layer of gold.
Mm.
Like you can fit an ounce of gold into like, I think it's 11 tennis courts or something like that. You can pound it out to. It's something, it's astronomical.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
That sounds like about the size of a rugby field. Not probably half a rugby field.
Yeah. I just remember reading that once and it blew my mind how flat you could get gold.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I did this to you last week. Bumped into you on the street, said, "Hey, Jake, I've got a problem." This is your life when you go downtown?
Yeah, I love it. But the good thing is I can claim 40% of everything I eat. Because when I'm downtown, I'm working.
You know, right,
there's no way I'm not working downtown. Because everybody hits me up for little weird things, you know?
Yeah. What are the things that are always breaking at the moment that are frustrating people?
For me, like the number one is women in cell phones.
Yeah,
because they need to fix the whole idea of women's pockets. Like, because women put
this
like,
is an issue.
It is it's a huge issue because women put phones in their back pockets, and what they do is because they don't have enough pocket in the front to put it in their front pocket, like you know, like the
spoils,
rest of us
spoils the cut.
Yeah,
right?
And so the LCD screens, like most phones or touchscreens, are a layer of glass, then a layer of air.
Yeah.
Then another, the LCD screen. And what a digitizer does is senses the pressure around the glass in the air, so it senses the change of air movement.
Oh, yeah.
And when women put their phones in their back pocket, it compresses the glass to the screen so you don't get a responsive touch because they've squished the air out of it because compressing it.
Does it permanently?
Yeah. And so tight pants, when you put the phone in the back pocket, just... does phones in left and right. It makes them super unresponsive, and then they got to get a new screen.
Is that why my daughter's got black blobs all over her screen at the moment?
That's the LCD leaking in.
That's the okay.
Because LCD stands for liquid crystal, so it's actually a liquid.
Yeah.
And so the blobs are the liquid crystal leaking out of where it's supposed to be in the crystal.
Yeah.
And becoming just gross little blobs. And then if you get the lines to your phone, like the vertical lines.
Yeah.
There's actually power that runs each rail, like each line in your screen.
Yeah.
And that'll be something wrong with that power along the top bit, which goes bad a lot too if you crack the screens and do stuff like that.
Well, we're talking about the Whangaroa Repair Cafe, which actually won't be repairing phones because you say that's mostly too tricky.
No, but we can look at them and tell them what's wrong, you know. But
right.
As far as like teaching people how to repair phones, it's a bad idea because you need the lab. You need the right parts. You need the right tools. Like you need magnifying glasses. It's like more of a jeweler thing, like how to fix a ring or stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's
right.
So
you wouldn't try that yourself. Yeah.
No.
So if you've got problems with your laptop or your desktop, 6:30 Wednesday night, 6:30 to 7:30. It's the Tech Masterclass, they're calling it. And you know how to fix all the stuff, so I guess it's just whatever you're saying, whatever people have got,
yeah,
bring it along.
And if they don't have anything, I'll bring some of my own stuff and I'll pull apart some like Macs or whatever and we'll show, you know, like liquid sensors and things like that. Just the normal stuff that usually goes bad on computers, you know?
Yeah. So just a little bit of it's like some basic knowledge, like we should know how to do basic repairs on cars, change a tire, stuff like that. We should be able to do that with our computers.
Just a little bit. There's some people that have the passion, you know. Maybe I spark one person's passion, you know, and like get them moving in the right direction on how to fix things, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Build another Jake.
There's only one Jake. What about things like, I've got a really old computer at home, a desktop. It's like 12 years old now. And it's really, to start up, because it's not an SSD, but it can take 10 or 15 minutes to start up. When I start up Firefox, the web browser, it can take like a minute to get going for that.
That's probably your hard drive. Like, usually that's what the real delays will be on something real minimal like that.
Yeah.
But the other thing you can do is buy a real cheap SSD and then put Chrome Flex on it.
Yeah.
Because Chrome OS, like Chromebooks have Chrome OS on them, right? And Chrome OS is free right now, and it's real fast, and it kind of revives old computers. And so you can just have Chrome OS. It'll just be like a Chromebook then, but if you want to just access the internet with it, it's fully worth it.
No, it was a PC designed for editing, so video editing. So, and it was actually literally designed for it. But is it just, could I refresh the computer, like wipe the hard drive, not of the data, but wipe the operating system and reload? Is that going to help?
I put a new hard drive in it.
Yeah.
Like something even small, because that's 90% of where your lag will be in an older computer. Because the old hard drive spun up at 7,200 RPM.
Yeah.
You know, so they're spinning the disk around. Sorry, I can't wiggle my finger on the air, but you spin it around in a circle like a record.
Yeah.
And it's a gold platter. And over time, there's ball bearings that go through the middle of the platter. And those ball bearings will just turn to dust over years of use, you know, or even not use. Because if they sit forever, the ball bearings will kind of like just kind of get stuck into each other, you know?
Yeah.
And so over time, those mechanical hard drives just, no matter what, die, you know? 1 out of 20 every year will die no matter what, just with attrition, you know?
Yeah.
And so any use of them, like, brings that scale up, you know?
So I should put an SSD in with a new operating system on it.
Yeah, that'll usually get everything going again.
Any recommendations about versions of Windows? In the past, they've always had a good version, then a trash version.
If your computer can hold it, just go as deep as you can, you know? Go to Windows 11. That's usually...
Okay.
I start with 10, then upgrade to 11 usually. Because you can still use Windows 7 serial keys on 10. And so then you can update to 11 for free.
I think I must have had Windows 7 on that computer.
Yeah, so you can go 7. Yeah. You can use the code from the 7 to install 10, and then you can upgrade 10 to 11 that way.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, way cheaper.
Hey, let's just talk about this right to repair movement. What changes are actually happening at the moment? Like, computers have become steadily more inaccessible and harder for
the
maintenance to occur.
There's more. One thing is, I see there's way more sealed unit stuff coming out.
Yeah.
And the sealed unit stuff you can't touch. It's like impossible. Like the new Surfaces.
Is that a type of tablet? The Surface?
Yeah, it's Microsoft's laptop.
Yeah.
And they're all sealed. So, like, when something breaks, I had one, we bought one for school, and the webcam didn't work on it. Now, the webcam's just a little cable. It's tiny, you know, and a little piece, you know, the size of your thumbnail. Any other computer, it'd take me 10 seconds to pull the bezel off that, come around, and get to the webcam, you know. It's not a hard fix. But on the Surface, I had to send it to Microsoft, and then they, instead of, like, repairing it, they sent me a refurbished one from another one, so I don't get my laptop back. I have to get, like, a refurbished one, which is... I bought a brand new laptop, and I got a refurbished one out of the deal, you know? Because it came out of the box like that.
Yeah, that's such poor customer service. And a lot of other industries, if your customer service was that bad, you'd be out of business. Mm. But somehow, we just keep going back.
Yeah, Microsoft and Apple... Any of the sealed unit stuff is real hard to do. And most of the Apple stuff nowadays, the laptops, is one piece. So, like... You have to get the whole one piece to do the job, like the storage, the RAM, the logic board, everything that controls the audio, the Wi-Fi, like all that stuff is on one board. Yeah. Whereas like most laptops, if you get like a good like HP laptop or something, those are all parts, you know? And so you can like, if your RAM goes bad, you go get more RAM. Or if your hard drive goes bad, you go get another M.2, you know? It's like...
Like, there's new legislation in the U.S., isn't there? Is it making much of a difference to this?
No, it's just making more sealed units.
D- did they find a sidestep around it or something?
Yeah, they just make it harder to repair them so that, like, your right to repair is still there. You can repair it, but it's impossible to repair.
Right, oh, so you can get in, you just can't do anything once you're in there.
Yeah, because it's all one piece.
And then you break it and you have to buy a new one. So yeah. Either way, Apple wins.
Yeah. And that cable thing is the worst thing they ever did, except for the keyboards. They had...
The cable thing?
Well, they made the cable 10 mil too short, so the hinge opened all the way up.
And the laptop.
But the cable was too short for it to open all the way up, and they didn't tell anybody. So I've got, like just at home, I've got, like, 80 screens stacked up. And each one of those cost a home user, if Apple was to do it, $1,200. But I get them from China, and it costs about $600, $500 for a normal user. I'd cut it in half, you know.
Right. But you've still got to import these things.
Yeah.
So is China making the replacement parts?
China makes all parts, you know.
But that would be funny if Apple's deliberately making it difficult and so China's making it easy.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah, Apple hates. Or China doesn't really, like, China's all about making money for China. So, like.
Of course.
Anything that Apple makes, they try and find ways to fix and circumvent and, like, get through it because, like.
Well, that benefits us, yeah. Ultimately. Mm. But would it be better off just not buying Apple gear?
That's a good question. If you're really into right to repair, you buy a computer that you can repair.
Yeah,
you know, like. But if you're really into being just a straight up lazy computer user, you know, not lazy in that you're not, you just don't want to fix it. You know, like a lot of people think of laptops as disposable. You know, like I get one. Doesn't work. I move all the data on to the next one, and then I get a new one, and then I get a new one.
But then moving the data is a pain.
Not with Apple. You just one button. You know, you push them, like, at the start, it asks you if you want to migrate. You connect them both to the Wi-Fi, and then you just hit migrate, and it's done.
Okay, so they make that easy.
Yeah.
That makes sense, too. That makes sense. It's easier to do that than to repair it.
Yeah.
So if people want to buy gear that they can repair, what should they be looking for?
Hewlett-Packard.
Yeah?
They're probably the best to repair.
Okay. I know there's someone working on a modular laptop.
Oh, I would love to see that. I've never seen it. Like, I've heard the song and dance a ton.
You know, do you know the YouTube channel Linus Tech Tips?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Linus is invested in this.
Yeah, I've seen it, but
I don't know what the name of it is off the top of my head.
I've seen his stuff. Like, I like watching him. He's gotten a bit dramatic for me because at the start he was all about tech tips and, like, He would just buy the most expensive stuff and either break it on purpose or try and find ways to use it or just show you how to set it up. And that's really good. The other really good, the best website for fixing stuff is iFixit. Because
we should talk about them, yeah.
It tells, it breaks it down step by step. And then also it gives you an amount of time that each step takes so that when you're billing, you can bill back to the iFixit. And say, you can show clients, you know, hey, look, this is what iFixit says that it takes.
Yeah.
Usually we're a bit quicker than the iFixit times.
Yeah.
But you can say, look, this is industry standard timage, you know, as far as like what this is going to... It's like in mechanics, you know, how the mechanics bill you for certain things.
Yeah, they already know this is going to take 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, and I know the Environment Center said they've got in their tool library, I think in the tool library, they've got iFixit kits.
It was awesome because I have the same kits. Me and Marcus, I bought Marcus, who works for me.
Yeah.
I bought him that for Christmas as like a Christmas bonus.
All right.
And it was like, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, and I imported him from America. And it was good to go to that repair cafe, and they got one. They're like, iFixit. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I love those guys, you know?
Yeah. So the iFixit website is a great resource.
Yeah.
Hewlett-Packard computers are pretty good for pulling apart. Not pulling apart, for replacing things when you need to replace.
And also, if you're a business, you buy the business. If you buy the business warranty from Hewlett-Packard, they rock up to your business and fix it. So, like,
oh, really?
Yeah, they come to wherever you're at.
Even here in Raglan.
All the time. I've got over 50 at school. And anytime, like, I got a bad speaker, let's say, they're there that week fixing the speaker with their kit, you know?
It must cost a bit more up front if you're going to have that kind of service.
I think, like, the business laptops are just expensive anyway, so it's, like, you know, it's all part of the deal. But
that's important because, like my daughter, Adie, who you know, her laptop broke. Well, I think she had it in her bag and it got wet with a water bottle anyway off at Tech. And so it took a couple of weeks at least to get it fixed. And so she needed another laptop in that time, and, yeah. all a bit hopeless, that huge delay. In fact, any delay, half an hour's delay is too much sometimes.
Oh, I have. Yeah, sometimes sometimes waiting for parts from China is annoying delay-wise. But I swear, like, I ordered a Mac screen last week, and it's already here. Like, I bought it last Monday, and it's already in my...
So they must have them in the country.
What's that?
They must have them in the country.
No, it came from China.
Really?
Yeah, in less than a week and a half. So packed up, shipped, and at my door within a week and a half, which you can't ask for more than that, you know, from another country.
That's good from another country, but still it's a week and a half for the user, isn't it? And that's, and you need... Can we lease backup laptops from you or from anyone in Raglan?
I lend out computers all the time. I always have a spare... I have a spare Apple, and usually I have two or three spare, like, laptops that I just lend out.
Because that's a problem being out here. It's like, your head down, working hard, your laptop breaks.
Chargers are worse. I've probably got right now 20 chargers, 15 at least.
So that's just for phones and things, or for laptops as well?
Laptops, mostly. Like, Apple a lot. Like... You've seen the nose board. There's somebody at least twice a week that needs a charger, you know? And, like, I'm always, I don't know, I just have it in me to be good to people as far as that kind of stuff goes, you know?
Well, you can see, I mean, it's such a simple solution to what is a big problem, because we don't live in the middle of Hamilton. So,
yeah, exactly.
And who wants to do that?
Yeah, it's like eating here, too. Like, I love eating good food. And so what do you do in Raglan when you want to eat good food? You learn how to make it, you know, like.
Yeah, well, I guess that's your approach, is you want to, you're hands on, you want to do it yourself. Yeah. Hey, folks, we should wrap the interview up. We're talking to Jake, who's going to be doing the Whangaroa Repair Cafe Tech Masterclass tomorrow night from 6:30. It doesn't say where it is, so I guess people have to book.
It's at Extreme Waste.
Oh, that's right.
It's in the conference room, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, the education room.
It's really nice in there. I set it up.
Yeah, it is.
I did the IT stuff for it.
Oh, did you?
It's got a really cool webcam, a Logitech one that tracks the people and tracks the voices, and the mic moves over to whoever's talking. And
oh, does it? I haven't seen it. I've been in there, but not for that kind of purpose. So.
Steve's done a good job at Extreme as far as upskilling the tech there.
Right.
Like, I will plug him because he's been such a benefit for that place, because, like, he has a knowledge of what he wants. And it's not about, like, what I can buy. It's more about, I need this tool to do this job. And so he's more tool-based in how things are going to get done. And so it's really good because you don't think about the money until the end. Whereas if you think of the money at the start, you usually pinhole yourself into certain things. Whereas sometimes you can do it for way cheaper if you know what you want first. You've got
that big picture perspective on it. Yeah,
and he's got a really good grasp of the big picture, you know.
So anyway, you do need to book this one. So get onto Facebook or come and talk to the people at the Environment Centre, perhaps that as well. I don't know quite when. They'll be open in the afternoon, I think. But look up Whangaroa Repair Cafe Tech Masterclass, or go to the Whangaroa Environment Centre website. And you'll see Jake. And tell people again what they should bring along.
Anything.
Who should come?
Hopefully everybody. Like, we'll have a party, you know. Bring some coffees. Bring me a cake. I like cheese scones.
Okay, just dropping that in there. All right, man. Thanks heaps for coming in.
No worries, bro. Have a good day.